Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Megillah Daf Chaf Hey. We begin on the very last word of Chaf Dalet Omid Beis with the start of the new Mishnah. Ha'omer. If a person says, we turn to Chaf Hey Omid Aleph, Yivaruchucha Tovim. If a person said, only let the good bless you, as Rashi points out, Shenu Kolel Rishayim Vishvacho Shomakom. He doesn't include the bad people in praising a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Chacham Lamedu from the Gemara in Krisus, from the chalbino, which one of the 11 spices in the pita maktores, and shirecharat, which has a very, very bad odor. And nevertheless, umana akos v'bein samamana haktores, it's included amongst the requirements to make the ktores. Shematzrichin hakosov v'yaratzoosim lios v'agudo achas, that has to be there. So therefore, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants everybody to bless him, and a person shouldn't say, only the good people shall bless you. In fact, we see the same idea. I mentioned this the other day. Tzibor is tzadikim beinonim u rishayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu wants everybody to daven together. Tosus adds over here, Pirish shemotzi es ha-pushim min ha-klal. He excludes the sinners from the klal. Alternately, inami mishum demechse kishtei rishuos. It looks chas v'shalom like there's good and evil. There's bad and there's good. And as if there's two rishuyos, kloma elokim tovim. There's a good God and a bad God. Like the certain religions think that there's the God of good and there's the God of evil. So therefore, this is incorrect. And if somebody does this, they only say, Yivaruchucha tovim, only the good shall bless you. Hare ze derech haminos. This is apostasy. This is a type of heresy, and one shouldn't say this. Al-Kan Sipar, if a person says that you should have mercy, just like you do on a bird's nest, that we have to send away the mother before we take the eggs of the birds or the young chicks of the birds, Yagi Rachamecha, your mercy should reach, so that's also inappropriate. And we'll see in a second that we silence such a person for saying that. Rashi points out that it's if you're saying, Kiloshin Hazeh, Rachamecha Magiin Al-Kan Sipar. It's a person saying, just like you're merciful on the bird, the mother bird, to send it away so it doesn't see its chicks or its eggs being taken from it, so too you should be merciful on us. So that's an improper way to dive into our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we should silence such a person, the Mishnah says. Continuing, the Mishnah tells us another way that's inappropriate. The person says, V'al Tov Yizochar Shemecha, your name should only be remembered when things are good. So that's also incorrect, because just like we're supposed to praise our Kodesh Baruch Hu when things are bad, we're supposed to praise our Kodesh Baruch Hu when things are good, as we'll see in the Gemara. And finally, the third category here is if a person says modim, modim, so he repeats the words modim, so it looks like chas v'shalom, there's two rishuyos, there's two deities. And therefore, in all of these situations, mishatkin or so, we silence such a person, it's inappropriate to daven in such a fashion. The Mishnah continues and says, Amechane barayis, if a person is darshening the arayis and says that they aren't meant literally. So when it says, for example, as the Gemara will tell us, if it says that a person should not see the erva of their father or the erva of their mother, and he darshens it, you shouldn't talk about the cologne, the negative things about your father and your mother. So then, hamachane barais, if you say that it's only a kinu, it doesn't literally mean what the Torah tells us it means, so mishaskin also, we also silence such a person, that is incorrect. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, Ha'omer, one who says, Umizaracha lo sitein lahabir lamolech, if he darshins the pasukim that tell us that don't give over your children to the molech. And he says, this means also a drasha and not the literal translation. And he says, oh, it means lo sitein la'abra baramoyasa, don't give over your seed, your zera, to impregnate a Aramean woman. That's what the pasuk means. So then, such a person also, Mishaskin also binazifa. Here we silence the person as well, but here we say it even strongly, binazifa. Literally, that means that you put him into chayrim. That is a very big distortion of what the pasuk means. Okay, now the Gemara will discuss all of this a little bit more. Bishlama, we understand the ratio of the Mishnah where it says modim, modim. We understand why that's not good, because the Masik kishtei rishuyos. It looks like your chas v'shalom saying, I modim to you, the God of good, and I modim to you, the God of bad, or something similar to that. And likewise, we say about Al Tov Yizochar Shemecha, only for good is your name mentioned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by bad. We don't mention your name, you're not in charge of that. So then, these are things we understand why Mishaskin or so. Because it's implying, Dimashma, Al Tov, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of good, in. However, Al Ra, Al, that's not Hashem's domain, so to say. And we know that that's incorrect. We learned in the Mishnah, Chayev Adam Levarech Al Ra, Kishem Shem Varech Al Tov. The Gemara in Brachos discusses this in great detail, that you should make a bracha for bad things, just like you should make a bracha for good things. Ideally, both of them should be either Shechianu or Tov Ametiv, but that's very difficult for us to make that bracha. So therefore, Chazal codified the bracha of Baruch Dayan HaEmes. But the idea is that a person should go and make a bracha for bad things and good things, because it's all one and the same. Gam Zula Tova, everything is for your good. You just don't see it. It's very difficult when a person, Rachman al Sam, loses a loved one to say Shechianu or Tov Ametiv. Therefore, Chazal said you should make a separate bracha, Baruch Dayan HaEmes, but the idea is that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if you were to say, Modu Modim, or I'll only Tov Yizrach HaShemecha, so that would be incorrect. Now, but Al El Akan Sipor, Yagir Rachamecha, but to say that we should be merciful on us, just like you're merciful on the Kan Sipor, why can't you say that? What's wrong with that? My Taima, how come that is also Mishaskin or so? We silence the person who uses that Lashon. Where it says there are two possible reasons, and this is a machlokas. Pligibo tre amaroi b'marova. Two amaroi in Eretz Yisrael, b'marova always means Eretz Yisrael. Say as follows: either was Rav Yossi bar Oven, Rav Yossi bar Zvida. We don't know which one said which. Rav Yossi bar Oven or Rav Yossi bar Zvida said as follows. Chanamar, one of them said, if we say that you should be merciful only on the bird, on the Kan Sipor, that you're sending away the mother bird, so the mother bird shouldn't be watching the Efroach, the little chick, or the eggs being taken from it. So that's being matul kina on the rest. How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not merciful on everything else? Which, of course, is not the case. So therefore, it implies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only partially merciful only on this. And you're therefore matul kina b'maisi b'reishis. You're causing, so to say, a jealousy for the other animals that HaKadosh Baruch Hu seemingly is not being merachim on. The other amor from Eretz Yisrael, v'chanimar, the other one said, mipnei she'osem midoso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim. Because it looks like that the only reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts is only purely based on rachamim. But that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. HaKadosh Baruch Hu works based upon din. And therefore, the idea over here, if you say that it should be merciful, so then that implies that there is no din. Mipnei she'osem midoso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim, and that's incorrect. Ve'inu el gzeiros. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is a gzeira from high. It is a gzeira telling us what we should be doing, what we should not be doing, and therefore it has nothing to do with mercy, it has to do with din. As Rashi points out, the purpose over here is to be a gzeiros hamelech, lahatil aleinu olo, to put the yoke of God upon us. Lodiyah shenachtum avadav, that we are God's servants, v'shomer mitzvosav, and we're supposed to be shomer, what he tells us to do. And it has nothing to do with being merciful or not. Well, continues, gives an interesting story. How there once was a person, the Nochas Kamei the Rabba, who was the Chazin in front of Rabba, and Omar, he said in his davening, Ato Chastal Kan Sipor, he made up the Nusach of the Shmoneh Esrei, so he didn't have it so well codified. So he said in his davening, in his Chazar Sashatz, he said, you are merciful on the mother bird that you shoo her away before you take the eggs or the Ephroach, so too, Ato Chus Rechem Leinu, so too be merciful upon us. Now, we just said you shouldn't do that, and this young man who was the chazan in front of the rabbi did it. Now, we are not going to the next words, ato chastal also the espino. Just like you're merciful that you don't kill the mother and the child of the mother animal on the same day, you're not allowed to kill the mother and the baby animal on the same day to shech them, so too you should be merciful ato chus rachayim aleinu. Now, we're not going to this. In fact, Tosa says that in fact we do say this in one of the piyutim from Yosef HaKalir, so he in fact does put this down, so therefore many are not going to this over here. In any event, this is what this young man said in front of Rabbah. This nusach ato chas lo kan sipor, therefore be merciful upon us. And Amar Rabbah tells him, hey, wow, what a chazan. Kama yod ahay me rabbanon l'ritzuy l'mari. He seemingly praises this one. Whoa, he really knows how to tap it. Abaye is shocked by this. Abaye says to his Rebbe, I'm like, Rebbe, Abaye says, for Mishaskin also tonight, our Mishnah said you silence such a person. So it must have been that Abaye was quite young at this time. The Rabbah l'chadu de la Abaye hu debar. And Rabbah just wanted to teach Abaye to make sure that he was sharp and aware, so he should be able to ask questions. He should never be afraid to ask questions. And he wanted to teach Abaye that you have to ask questions in the situation, because if you learn something and it's incorrect, you're allowed to question. Make sure we come to the right conclusion. Similarly, famous story, I think I even alluded to this the other day, how the Nochas Kamei de Rav Chanina. There once was a person who was the chazan in front of Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina was the rav in the shul, and this person went up to David. Omar, he davened to Shmon Esri, and he said, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, V'anorah, which is a nusach of the Shmon Esri that we're allowed to say, but he added on a whole bunch of things besides Hakel, Hagadol, the great, Hagibor, the strong, V'anorah, the awesome one. He added on Ha'adir, which means like the glorious one, V'achazok, again, another word for very, very strong, V'amitz, another word for very, very strong. So he's very proud of himself that he did this. So Amalei, after this person finished being the chazan, so Rabbi Chanina went over to him and said, Siamtinu lishvachei l'demarach, you added on all these extra things, so why did you stop? Did you finish saying all the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You added on three things, is that it? In other words, Rabbi Chanina was telling him, you don't have the right to go and add on other things, because the more you add on, you're actually the more you're subtracting. That we have the right to say, Hashto hanitlos hakel hagibor v'anorah, that we have the right to say, because Chazal said it, and therefore, since it's written down, so we have the right to go and use that nosuch. However, to add on anything else, Ilav de Kasvinu Moshe Baraisiv, Moshe Rabbeinu hadn't written this type of praise down in the Torah, and then the Anshe Knesset Gedola came and codified it as part of the Shmon Esrei. Also, Knesset Gedola, the Anshe Knesset Gedola came, the Tachninu, when they put it into the Shmon Esrei, Anan Lo Arminu, we wouldn't have a right to even say that. But we do have to daven something, and this is what the Chazal said that is the right nusach to daven, but you can't add on any more. And therefore, the At Armis, when you add it on, Kulei Hai, it's actually a detraction, because we have the right to say these three, but once you're starting to say more, so then you're limiting it, only those three. The example is, the marshal is to the following scenario. Adam Sheish Hayulo Elef Alfi Alofim Dinrezov. Person's a multi-billionaire, right? Elon Musk is a 300 billionaire. So if you go to Elon Musk and say, oh, we praise you, you have $100 in your pocket. Oh, you're Makasin, so either be Elef or not be Elef, Dinre Kesef, that you have 1,000 silver dollars, right? So you're much less risk than you really are. So that's actually a negative. So Logan Ayulo, that's a negative. That is something that would be an embarrassment. So if we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, listen, you are not only HaKel HaGadol, you are in a Ra, you're also Adir, V'Chazok, V'Amitz, so that actually is a minimization of everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, because there's so much more. So we have a right to say HaKel HaGadol HaGibor V'Norah, because that's what Chazal codified, and therefore we're not minimizing it, that's what Chazal said we should say. But as soon as you add on additional praises, it's actually subtracting from the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, it's like saying to a very, very wealthy person who has billions and billions of gold and dinarim to say, well, you have 100 or 1,000 or a small number of silver dinarim, wow, you must be very rich, but that's actually a minimization and a negative for that person. Amir Chanina tells us another din. Hakol b'dei shemayim chutz mi'ir shemayim. Everything is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one exception that we're in control of, and that is Yira Shemayim. Are we Yorei Shemayim or not? Shenemar, as the pasuk tells us, the famous pasuk, V'atoh Yisrael, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shom Me'imach. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? Ki'im li'ira. That all Hashem wants is that we should be in awe of Hashem. We should have fear of Hashem. We should be enamored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, His greatness, and we should have a pachad, a yira of that. And this is darshed in many places in the Gemara in other ways, but for now, that's what Rav Chanina said, that Hashem wants from us to have Yirah Shemayim. Now, that implies, when he says over here, all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, Mashem Elokecha Shoa Meimach, all that Hashem wants from you is just Kiyim Lira. That implies, Mechal, the Yirah, Milsa Zutrasihi, that this is actually a small thing, and it's easily achievable. So, that's not correct. It really is very difficult to be a Yorei Shemayim. So how can we say over here that this is a simple thing? It implies that all Hashem wants is just a little Yorei Shemayim. And it's very easy, but it's not very easy. So the Gemara says, no, it depends who's saying it. If it's Moshe Rabbeinu, in. Legabi Moshe Rabbeinu, Milsa Zutrasihi. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it is a little thing to have Yorei Shemayim. For everybody else, it's of course a much greater thing and much, much more difficult. And again, we give a nice, beautiful example for this. Moshe Liodim, Shemavakshim Emenu Kli Gadol. If a person is being asked, can I borrow your big cholent pot? No, v'yeshlo, and he has a big cholent pot. So then, doma olav kichli chotim, then it's no big deal. Sure, I'll lend it to you. And it's no different than he has a small cholent pot. The guy asks for a big cholent pot, and I have it, so of course it's really easy for me to give it to you. But if somebody asks you for a small cholent pot, chotim, the ain't law, but you don't even have that, so then doma olav kichli chotim, then it's no different than if he asks you for a big cholent pot. You don't have the little one, you don't have the big one, so that's already a big deal. So too, if a person has Yirah Shemayim, like Moshe Rabbeinu, so then it's a big deal to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a little bit of Yirah Shemayim. But if a person doesn't have the right amount of Yirah Shemayim, so then it's a big deal, and therefore, for us, it's a big deal. Amar Zera tells us, Omer Shema Shema, if somebody says Shema twice, it implies again, Shtei Rishuyos, there's a God of good and a God of evil, Chas V'Shalom. So it's as if you're saying, come here, Modim, Modim, Domi. It's as if you said, I'm Modim to you, this God, and I'm Modim to that God. So you're not supposed to say Shema twice, and Mishaskin also, we silence such a person, just like if you said Modim, Modim. More questions, Rav Zeira. More says, Mesa, wait a second, there's a Bryce, and it says, Hakori es Shema, the Kofla, if somebody reads Shema, and then he says it again. That's disgusting. Now, disgusting doesn't mean Mishaskin also. It means it's disgusting, you shouldn't have done it, but it doesn't mean we silence you. So Magunahu Dahave, that is not nice, that's disgusting. However, Magunahu Dahave Shatuke Lomishaskinale, but we don't silence the person. So this Brisa seems to suggest that saying Shema Shema is not as bad as saying Modim Modim. By Modim Modim, you have to be Mishaskin also. By saying Shema Shema, it's just Maguna, it's disgusting, but it's not Mishaskin also. So Gemara says, no, there's no steer over here. Lokasha. Hodyama milso, milso, vitani law. Hodyama psuka, psuka, vitani law. It depends how you're saying it. There are two ways to learn this over here. We have two opposite approaches over here. I'll say both of them. So one way to understand this is it's okay. It's not okay. It's only called maguna. It's not nice. If you say the entire pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and then you say it again, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That is only maguna. But if you say Shema, Shema, Yisrael, Yisrael, Hashem, Hashem, so that is called mishaskin. So that is incorrect. The alternative way is no. If you said Shema, Shema, Yisrael, Yisrael, that is Maguna, but not Mishaskin so. It's only if you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, then you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that is Mishaskin so. Okay. But a statement of Rav Zeira and the Brisa are talking about two different scenarios. Depends what you said. Gemara questions this further, though. The Gemara says, Amalei Rav Papa L'Rava. Rav Papa says to Rava, Bedoma, maybe, Meikara, in the first situation, Lo Kivin Daite. When he said, Shema Yisrael, Shema Elokeinu, Shem Echad, he didn't have Kavana. And now, Vahashta, Kivin Daite. And the reason he's saying it a second time is because he now wants to have Kavana. So therefore, that would be appropriate, because you must have Kavana if you say Shema. So maybe it's not such a terrible thing. The person realized he didn't have Kavana the first time, so he's saying it again. Maybe it's not even something that should be Maguna. So Amalei, Rava says back to Rav Papa, Chavrusa klapi Shmaya. What? He's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's a friend, like he's your Chavrusa. You say your Chavrusa, oh, what about you? What about this? What about that? You talk to him in a very friendly way, not in a way of Yira Shemayim. Hilo Mechavin Daite. If a person were to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that loose form, without really concentrating on what he's saying, Mechinale, I would go and give him a zetz, I would hit him, beyond Zafta Dinafcha, with a hammer that a blacksmith is using to smash the anvil, the metal on the anvil, Ad Mechavin Daite, until the guy concentrates. In other words, that's not a teretz. To say that I wasn't careful the first time when I said Shema Yisrael is a chutzpah, so therefore it's still Maguna to repeat it the second time, even if you didn't have Kavana the first time, because how dare you not have Kavana the first time when you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I pointed out that by Shmoneh Esrei, the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, the halacha technically is that if you didn't have kavanah, you're supposed to repeat it. However, that's the theoretical halacha l'maisa, but the practical halacha l'maisa is the rabbi said, Mustami, you're not going to have kavanah the second time as well, and therefore it could be a bracha l'vatala, and therefore l'maisa, we don't tell you to repeat it, but we do tell you to try to have kavanah the first time as best as you possibly can. David said in the Mishnah, Hamechane b'arayos mishaskin oso, if somebody says that the arayos that are mentioned in the Torah are not to be taken literally, but they're meant about something else, they're a drush, they're a homily, so then we silence such a person. So what exactly does this mean? Tana Rav Yosef gives us an example. Kilon aviv uklon ima. When he says, you shouldn't be megala ervas avicha lo sigale, ervas imcha lo sigale, it says you shouldn't be uncovering their erva, so if you translate it, it means that you shouldn't go and remind yourself or say over the cologne of an embarrassment of your father, an embarrassment of your mother. That's what it means, so that's incorrect, and we silence such a person. Mishnah furthermore said, Ha'omer, u'mizarachalo zetein lahavir b'molech v'chule, if a person says that the drasha, that you shouldn't pass your children over to the molech, pass them over through the fire, and if you say that that's also a homiletic drush, so that's incorrect. Mishaskim so ben zifa. We really get upset at such a person. So Tana Devei Rishmol, learn the base medrash from Rishmol. B'Yisrael habal akusis, v'holi v'mena bein l'avodazara hakasim l'daber. This refers to someone who says, as Rashi points out, this is how he's darshing this pasuk, and he says it's referring to somebody who's bala kusis and gives his zera over to kusis. So if that's how you teach this over here, mizara chalos itein lahavir espinola molech, so that's incorrect. And therefore, we should silence somebody in a zifa if he does this. So this is the way Rashi understands is that this is an example of what you shouldn't do. Yisrael Abala Kusis, if you have relations with Kusis, the holy men are bad, and you have a child, La Vodazara, that child will serve a Vodazara, Kusim Adabri. If that's a Yadashin, then it's wrong. Others say, no, this is in fact, the Marsha exactly brings down over here the Aruch and says, no, that is what this pasuk really means. It's not only talking about that you shouldn't give over your child to the Molech, but it also means that you shouldn't go and have children with the Kusis because your children will end up worshiping Vodazara. They follow the mother, and therefore, this could be a terrible thing for your children. Okay, next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Maisa Reuven, Nikro Velomitargein. If you're reading in the Chumash, the Maisa Reuven, that he slept with Bilhah, Yaakov's wife, so that's absolutely not what it means, and therefore, it's incorrect if you read it that way, and therefore, we read it in Hebrew, but Velomitargein, but we don't translate it in the Aramaic, because the people are going to be misled, and it could lead to a terrible mistake, thinking that Reuven did something terrible, when in fact, Reuven did not. However, the Mishnah continues and says, when you have the mice of Tamar, when she slept with Yehuda, and that could also be misunderstood to be a genai for Yehuda, that is allowed to be read Nikra and Umetagim. But we do say the Tagim with that, because as we'll see in the Gemara, because that shows how great Yehuda was. He said, Sod Kumimani. So therefore, that can be both read, and we even translate it to the Amoratzim will understand it, because they'll see that this is actually Danning Yehuda, Lekafsus, as opposed to Reuven. It looks like it's inappropriate. Furthermore, Ma'is Egal HaRishon, Nikra Umetargim, by the Egal HaRishon, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the first Luchos. So it doesn't mean that it's the second Egal, it means that when he comes down with the first Luchos, Ma'is Egal, and we're talking about the first Luchos, HaRishon, Nikra, we're allowed to read that Umetargim, and we go and translate that as well, so the Amoratzim will understand it. However, Vasheni, the second time, now it's talking here about the Egel, when we have the conversation between Aaron and Moshe, what happened? So now we reiterate what happened with the Egel, so that the second time it's just Nikra, but Lomitagin, but we don't go and translate it. The Gemara will explain why we do each of these things. Then the Mishnah continues and it says, Birchas Kohanim, the saying of the Duchening, the Psukim of the Duchening, and Ma'isa David Amnon, and the Ma'isa with David and Amnon, which is a very difficult to understand Psukim, where Amnon, who was the son of David, raped David's daughter, his sister, Tamar. They are read, Nikroyin, Velo Metagaminon, but they're not exactly explained. There are other Girsas here as well. You can see in the Bach, which says, not even Nikroyin, they're not even read, because this is a Haftorah, so you could pick something else to read. Don't even read this as a Haftorah. So some of the Girsas, Lo Nikroyin, Velo Metagaminon. However, Tosas Yontav, you see on the side, Ayin Tosas Yontav, he says, no, read it the way we have it. Furthermore, Ein Maftirim Merkava, we shouldn't read the Ma'aseh Merkava as one of the Haftorahs. However, Yehuda disagrees. Yehuda Maftir, he says you can't. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, we don't read the Haftorah, Ein Maftirim Behodais Yushalayim, which has a very negative connotation about Yushalayim, the people living in Yushalayim. And he says, don't pick that as the Haftorah as well. Tomorrow we'll discuss this all further. Tana Rabbanim, we start off, Yesh Nikrinu Metagaminon, the Braisa tells us that there are some that we allow to read them in Hebrew, and we also translate them. Yesh Nikrin, some we read in Hebrew, Velo Metagamin, but we don't translate them. And then you have some that are Lo Nikrin, Velo Metagamin. And there are those that we have that we don't read and we don't translate. Now, what are those? Elu Nikrin Metagamin. We start off with the first group that is both read and translated. So that would be a mnemonic over here, Balas Akan Nishpa Simon. Again, we always say it's a school of the seal of the simonim. This is going to be basically the Rashi tables for all of these parashios that we're about to start. So the first case is the base, and that's Ma'aseh Bereishis. That tells us about the Ma'aseh Bereishis. So Nikra, we read that, and Metagim. We're allowed to translate that. Moshe says, why would you think not? Pshita, of course you should. What's the Havamina to say that you shouldn't go and read that and translate it? So Moshe says, no, Ma'o Detema, I might have said, also L'shayule, people are going to come to ask when they read about Bereishis, Baruch Lekim, Eshwein Yisarit, so they'll say, what's Malamala, Malamata? What happened before that? What is above and what is below, literally. We turn to Chafei Omid Beis, and we continue and say, Malifnim, Malayachar, what came before, what came afterwards? These are things that are very problematic to ask about. So you might have thought, as soon as you start reading it and translating it, that's going to lead people to ask these difficult to answer questions, and therefore, Kamash Ulan, no, we don't worry about that. There are answers to this, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaYehov V'Yah, God is before, after, and at the present, God is everywhere in time. There is no time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, there is nothing that is before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is nothing that is after HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, that's something that we're allowed to say and understand. Ma'aseh Lo, then the Braisa continues and says, the Ma'aseh of Lo, that he slept Nebuch with his two daughters, Ushnei Ben Osef and his two daughters, Nikra U'metagim. You're allowed to read that, and you're allowed to be metagim. Again, Pshita, why would you think you shouldn't? So Gemara says, no, Ma'o D'tem, I might have thought that since Lot was Avram's nephew, it puts Lot in a bad light. He got drunk. First night, okay, maybe he didn't know, but the second night he got drunk again, so it puts Avram as the, so to say, the Rebbe of Lot in a bad light. So Nechush L'Kvod Avram, it looks, maybe we shouldn't translate this because it puts Avram in a bad light, so Kamash Olon, it doesn't. And in fact, the two daughters of Lot were great Noshim Tzidkaniyos. As I mentioned in the past, is a fantastic, in the introduction to the Igros Moshe, Chelichez, he talks about a person who once said negative things about the two daughters of Lot, and they came to him in a dream and said that you should know that we were great Noshim Tzidkaniyos, and what we did was totally Tashem Shemayim. I won't go through the whole Maisa now. It's a fascinating Maisa. In any event, therefore, there's no embarrassment in us saying it, and therefore we can translate it and, of course, read it. Okay. Then the Ma'aseh Tom of Yehuda, Nikra Metagim. The Ma'aseh of Tom and Yehuda is allowed to go and be read and is allowed to be explained. Again, the Gemara says, Pshita, why would you think not? So you might have thought, Ma'o Detema, I would have said, Lechosh to call the Yehuda, it puts Yehuda in a bad light. So the Gemara says, no, Kamash Ulam, it puts him in a good light. Shabachai, who the Ode, because it is a praise to him. They says, Sod Komimeni, that she was more righteous than I am. And he saw that she was, in fact, a great woman. She was a Isha Tzidkaniyos, and therefore, it doesn't put him in a bad light. Then it says, Ma'isa Egel Arishon, when we first had the description of what happened with the Egel, that's allowed to be read, and it's allowed to be metagim. Again, the Gemara says, Pshita, why would we think not? So the Gemara says, Ma'o D'tem, I might have thought, Lechosh L'Kvod L'Shal Yisrael, it puts Klai Yisrael in a bad light that we made the Egel. So Kamash Olan, Kol Shekein D'Nichalu. No, it's actually a good thing for this to be translated, so people can see, D'Havi L'Hu Kapara, because by reading it and seeing how bad we were, that HaKosh Baruch Hu was so good to us, and now Moshe Rabbeinu leaves for 40 days, and he's a little bit late, he comes down 6 hours late, and we go and do this Egel, so it gives us a little bit of Musar, and it's a good thing for us to read this. Then it tells us in the Braisa, Klolos Ubrachos, the curses and the blessings. It says the curses first, even though the Brachos came first, because the curses are the critical thing that we have the question on. So Klolos Ubrachos, Nikrin Metagaminon. You're allowed to go and read them, and you can allow to be metagamin. You're allowed to go and translate them. Again, Gemara says, Pshita, why would you think not? So Gemara says, no. Mahu de tema. I might have thought nechosh. I would have said maybe dilma feiga da tayu de tzibura. You might have thought that it would make everybody depressed. And therefore, it's not a good thing to read. So therefore, no, kamash v'lan, it is a good thing to read because it's like musa for us and will serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who says on the side, the Ava and Yira. So therefore, it's a good thing to read. Kamash v'lan, we do read it. Okay. Then the Brisa continues, as haros, v'yonoshin, nikra, and umetagimin, that you're allowed to read all the warnings for the sins that we do, and the onishes and the punishments, that's also allowed to be read, and it's allowed to be translated. Gemara says, again, pshita, why would we think not? So Gemara says, no, ma'o detema, I might have thought that nechosh dilma osi lameva miyira, the people, if they only have reward and punishment, so they're going to do everything else dira, which is not the higher level. The higher level is out of ava, therefore, kamash v'lan, no, we don't have to be concerned about this, and if that's all that the people do it out of Yira, so okay, that's a start. Obviously, we should try to do it out of Abba, but it's not a negative to teach us that there are Asoros and Onoshin, and therefore it's okay to read it. Then it tells us in the Braisa, Maisa Amnon v'Tamar, the Maisa Nebuch, that Amnon attacked his sister Tamar, so that's Nikro Metage. That is, in fact, read. Now, likewise, Maisa Avshalom Nikro Metage, the matter with Avshalom, that he rebelled against his father, that's also read, and it's also translated. The Gemara again says, Pshita, why would we think these two Maisim should not be read and translated? So the Gemara says, no, Ma'u detema, lechosh liyakare to David, because it puts David in a bad light, that he has two sons that acted in such a disingenuous way, that acted in such a terrible way. So Kamash v'lan, no, it's not, because it wasn't David, it was his children. And you don't take the father to account necessarily for the children did something wrong. Furthermore, the Braisa continues, says, Maisa Pilegesh Megiva, the famous tragic story of the Pilegesh Megiva, that a woman who was a Pilegesh was sent away, and she was assaulted and attacked and cut up into pieces, and this was caused a huge civil war between Shevet Binyamin, who was protecting the people that did this, and the rest of Kai Yisrael, who wanted to take vengeance on them, and they led to three wars, and the first two, Binyamin won, and then Binyamin was almost wiped out. So the Maisa of the Pelegish Begiva, Nikro Metargim, we read it, and we also Metargim it. Again, the Gemara says, why not? Pshita. Why would you think we shouldn't? So again, Ma'al Dutema, Lechosh Lekol Dut Binyamin. You might have thought that this is a Pagam on Binyamin. Binyamin was a great tzaddik, so you maybe thought that we shouldn't be talking about his children in this way, Kamash Olan. No, it's allowable for us to talk about this. Then finally, we see in the Mishnah, and we see here in the Braisa, the psukim that talk about the people in Yerushalayim not being so good. Hodais Yerushalayim Estavu Seb. You're allowed to say this out loud and translate it. So Hodais Yerushalayim Estavu Seb. You can say this nikra, it's allowed to be said, and the Metagim when we translate it. And where it says Pshita. Now, this was a machlokas in the Mishnah, but according to the opinion, it says it's okay to do this. So Pshita, why would you think not? So again, Lafu came in the Rabbi Eliezer, because there was an opinion in the Mishnah that said, you can't do this, Netanya. There once was a person, Shayakor Lamalami Eliezer, that he was reading the Torah in front of Rabbi Eliezer, and he read, Hodais Yerushalayim Es Tavosel. And he read this when, in fact, Rabbi Eliezer holds it, you shouldn't read it. Some of those, Rabbi Eliezer said to him, you're so quick to go and talk about the evil of Yerushalayim, maybe you're not such a good person. You're saying, go check out Yerushalayim, how bad they are, and how bad the people are. Maybe, say it with Doug first, go and check, go check out your mother to see if she was a righteous woman, when in fact, she probably, unfortunately, fooled around, and you're really a mamzer. And Batku Achrov, in fact, he checked into this, and in fact, he was a mamzer. There was something wrong with his lineage, and that's why he should have asked the Shiloh to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer holds he's not allowed to do this, so it's a chutz for him to go and do it in front of Rabbi Eliezer without asking the Shiloh, can I or can I not read this? Okay. Then the Gemara says, Ve'elu nikrin lomatagimin, the second part of the writing says, the following are read, but we don't translate them. So here's a simon as well, Ravdon simon. We have a simon, Ravdon, again, which is the first words of all of the scenarios. So it says, Ma'isa Reuven, that's the Reish, Ma'isa Reuven nikra, that's read, v'lomatagim, because it puts Reuven into a bad light that he slept chas v'shalom with Bila, his father's wife, which of course wasn't the case. He just switched around the beds. Instead of having Bila there, so he put his mother, Leah's bed with Yaakov Avinu. So it tells us, "Umaisa Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel shalach leKabul." So Rabbi Chanina once went, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel once went to the city of Kabul. V'haya kore chazan haKnesses, and the gabbai in that shul was reading Vayihi Bishkon Yisrael, and he was reading this series of psukim about Reuven. So he read Vayihi Bishkon Yisrael, and then it tells us, "Vayelach Reuven Vishkavas Bila Pilegesh Aviv." Vayishma Yisrael, Ayub B'nei Yaakov, Shnei Masar. So he read it, and we just said that you read it, but you don't metagim it. So what happened? The Amalom Lematurgim. So Rabbi Chanina Gamliel, when he heard the Baal Kore reading this, he told him, Hafsek, stop. In other words, he told him, don't translate the whole thing over here. Some don't have the gears Hafsek. He said, Altis to Targum, don't go and read El Achron. Only read the last part. And the Chacham said that what Chanina and Gamliel said is correct, because this shouldn't be read, because it puts Reuven in a bad light. Okay. And it said, Ma'aseh Egel Hasheni, the reiteration of what happened with the Egel, the conversation between Moshe and Aaron, so that's allowed to be read, but lo mitargim, we don't go and read it. So what is this? Eze Ma'aseh Egel Hasheni. What exactly is this referring to, this conversation between Moshe and Aaron? So the Gemara tells us, min vayomer Moshe, ad vayar Moshe. This is a series of psukim that we have in Shmos, in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Chavalev. And Tanya, it says about this, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, lo yemi adam zohir b'tshuvosav, a person always very careful when he answers things. Shemitoch tshuva sheyishivu Aaron Moshe, because Aaron responded very specifically to Moshe Rabbeinu, and very carefully to Moshe Rabbeinu, pakru hama'arim. All of the people thought that this was in some way that the Avodah Zarah, the Egel, really had power. As Rashi says over here, heizu pneim lomar yesh mamish b'Avodah Zarah, because Aaron told him, I didn't do anything. The Egel rose on its own and started talking and moving. So therefore, all the people said, oh, this is really Avodah Zarah has power. Shenemar vashlicheo ba'esh, I threw the metal, all the precious gold into the fire of Eitz HaEgelazet, and the eagle came out. So therefore, because he wasn't as careful as he should have been, that's why we don't translate it, because it could be mistakenly understood that Rachmana Litzlan, that there was some power to this eagle, which of course there was none. The Brayza continues and says, Birchas Kohanim, is what we do in Shalom. We read that, but we don't translate it. Why? Why not? My timer. Why don't we translate it? So again, because people would misunderstand. So it looks like Chas v'Shalom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking a bribe from us. As Rashi points out, Shalom Yomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu no say lahen ponim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking the other way. He takes a bribe from us. And but they didn't realize that we are worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us a second chance over here, as the Gemara in Brachos tells us, lo kedahim Yisrael lo seis lehem ponim. It's worthwhile that Klai Yisrael should be given a little special benefit, because I told them they have to bench v'yochalta v'savato v'irachta only if they have kedei sviya. They machmir, and they have two opinions, Rav Meir and Yehuda, either they eat a kebetz or they eat a kezayis that they bench anyway. So therefore, they do lifnei mishur sadin, so I will do lifnei mishur sadin for them. But people may not understand this, and therefore, we just read these psukim, but we don't translate them. The Gemara continues and quotes further, now the gears that we have is lo nikun, lo metargumen, that we don't read it and we don't metargumen. And the Hagos Hagra over here, you see that he says that you should delete the word lo, and he says the gears is like we had in the Mishnah, that you're allowed to read it, but you just don't translate it. And this is also the gears of the Runjber. In any event, Maisa Dov V'Yamnon, either lo nikun, lo metargumen, or it is allowed to be read, but we don't translate it. The Gemara says, but we said in the first part of the Braisa that we do say the Maisa of Amnon and Tomar, and we translate it. So I don't understand. How come here you're saying towards the end that we read it, but we don't translate it, or we don't even read it at all? So one says, no, you can reconcile this as follows. Lokasha, Hadirsiv Amnon and David. If you're saying the words Amnon and David, that puts David in a bad light. So those psukim that say Amnon and David, you're not allowed to read. However, Hadirsiv, but those psukim that just say Amnon, Stama, by himself, without mentioning his lineage, that he was the son of David, so those you're allowed to read, albeit we don't translate them. Tana Rabbanu, we learned in the Braisa, Kalamikroos, Haksuvim Batoro Lignai, Koronos on Lishvach. Any psukim that are written in the Torah, lignai, that means in a negative way, so we are allowed to go and read them lishvach, in a positive way. What exactly does this mean? There are certain words that are vulgar types of words, and they're spelled out, but we don't pronounce them that way. And these are basically ksivu kriz, and this way we don't use such a vulgar language, even though the Torah wants us to see the vulgarity of that act that they did, but we make it a little bit less strong when we say it. Tana Rabbanan, so therefore, kol amikroos haksuvas b'Torah lignai. We're now going to give several examples that they're very strongly worded. Koronos haleshvach. We read them in a less strongly worded way. For example, kigon, instead of reading the word yish golena, which is a very strong word for somebody committing an act of assault on a woman, committing an act of adultery, so yish kavena. So we read that he will lie down with her. It's a nicer terminology. Instead of reading the word ba'polim, we read the word batichorim. This is a lashon that's used over here, describing the behind of a person. As Rashi says, lashon mefurishu lignai yosem mitichorim. So apolim is a stronger word for either hemorrhoids or some illness of the behind, and therefore tichorim is a nicer word. Therefore, we use a nicer word. Likewise, chiryonim. Instead of reading chiryonim, we read it divyonim. Rashi again tells us over here, chiyonim is a very strong word for excrement, so divyonim is a nicer word. It means that which comes out of yonim. Shalol afar, shal yisrael, ochlin, gileleim, vishomim. That we shouldn't say that we're eating our own excrement. So therefore, it switches around the word from chiryonim to divyonim. Likewise, lechol ischareim v'lishtos esmei meishineihim. So it says that you'll eat your excrement and you'll drink the diarrhea that comes out. So instead of that, we read lechol esoasom v'lishtos esmei meiragleim. You'll go and eat the tzoa that comes out, the nicer term for excrement, and drink the meiragleim, which is urine, rather than talking about diarrhea. Again, these are nicer terms to use, but the Torah tells us what it really wants to say by writing it down as a ksiv, the way it's written. Likewise, we don't read the word lemoch roos, which is a stronger word for a certain type of idol. So it was ripped apart and made into a bathroom where that idol was. So it's a strong word. So we instead say lemotzoos. So we refer to it as a less strong word that means the back of the person, but it doesn't actually say the place where the ray comes out, where the excrement comes out. Rishu b'chach omer, he says, l'mochroz kishmon. He says there is no problem with saying l'mochroz. You don't have to change it around to mitzos, because this is a negative for the avodas kochavim, so you can be as indelicate as you wish. You can be as strongly worded as you want. Amar v'nachmin, kol etzanusa asira. We normally don't make fun of things. It's not a Yiddish thing to go and mock things, to have a leitzanus, to go and be a scoffer and sarcasm. That's not the way we normally act, with one exception. Bar, mi leitzanusa de avodas kochavim. Except for making fun of avodas kochavim, of idolatry, that is allowed, the sharia. And we see this from the Siv. The pasuk says, kara Baal. It says that Baal, which is an avodah zara, went and bent down, which implies that it went to the bathroom, and kores nevo, and it makes all sorts of diarrhea comes out of it, and therefore it is a very, very strong negative description. So therefore, you're allowed to say this in a negative way. Uksiv korsu koru yachdav, and it says furthermore that they go and they excrete all of this excrement together. Lo yachlu malet masav gomer, and they couldn't hold on to their excrement; it all spilled out of them. So therefore, you see from here that you're allowed to go make fun of them. The Gemara elsewhere tells us by Eliyahu and Har Carmel that Eliyahu made fun of the Baal, and he said, maybe your Baal is asleep, maybe he's on a trip someplace. You better yell louder, because he's obviously not hearing you, so he must be asleep, or he must be on a trip, so go yell louder. So this idea of making leitzanus of avodah zarah is the one place that we do make leitzanus. Rivyani says a different place. Rivyani Yamami Hochem, he says you can bring from the following. It says, la'eglos beis oven, the calves over here that were from a place called beis oven, yoguru shechan shomron. So the people that lived in Shomron will be afraid if they hear about this. What does that mean? Ki oval olav amo, because the people will mourn over this, uchamorov olav yagilu, and the priests who had previously been very happy about all of their avodah zarah, akvodo ki golav imenu, because all of its kavod had left. And don't read it kavod, al tikre kivodo ela kivedo, in other words, all of its burden, which means all of its excrement. So, again, we're making fun of leitzanus over here of the avodah zarah. Finally, Amar Rav Huna bar Manoach, Mishmei de Rav Acha, Berei de Rav Ika. Rav Huna bar Manoach said in the name of Rav Acha, who was the son of Rav Ika, Sharei le Levar Yisrael, it is permissible for a Yid, Lemei mar le Leovi Kochavim, to go tell a idol worshipper, Shach le Lavodos Kochavim, Yanche b'Shin Tov, go take your idol and go put it in the Shin Tov. Shin Tov, Rashi says, is Lashon, v'chashufei, which Sheis, which is Ervas Mitzrayim. It's used, the Lashon there, to be Metargen in Yeshaya. It basically means to go put it up your behind. In other words, you can take your avodah zarah and stick it up your behind. That you'll have to tell them. Amar Ravashi, Haiman disanai shumone. If a person is somehow being tarnished, his reputation is being made fun of, as Rashi says, shiotzos olav shumuos roos, people saying bad things about him, usnuos shuno, if they're saying that he is an adulterer. So shorile levazuye is allowed to go and embarrass such a person, begimel vishin. What does that mean? So Rashi says that you can say about such a person that he's a bar girta, or a zona, that shmo is sari. You can say about him that his lineage is coming from an ignoble lineage. And furthermore, Haiman de Shapir Shumane Shor le Shabuche, if somebody has a very, very good reputation, so then in that situation, you're allowed to go and praise him. Shor le Shabuche. If the people say very nice things about somebody, you can go and praise him as well. Haiman de Shabuche, and the one who praises him, Nuchalo Brochos Arosho, that person will too be praised for praising a great person. Again, this last piece of the Gemara is very esoteric. We just read through the words, but with this we conclude today's shir and this third perek of Megillah. Hadron Alecha Hakori Omed, Hadron Alecha Hakori Omed, Hadron Alecha Hakori Omed. Yitz Hashem will start the new perek, the final fourth perek of this beautiful Masechta Megillah, tomorrow. With this we conclude today's shir.